Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Tarek Farid. How are you, Tarek?
I'm doing great, Robert. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And as many of you know, Tarek has been a guest on the show several times, and he is not just the CEO of Edible Arrangements, what a beloved brand, but he is also the founder, and that's rare to find both CEO and founder. And right now they have about 1,050 stores throughout the world, one of the leaders in e-commerce. Just talk about first what the business is to you, as this is one of your babies that you founded, really.
It is the baby, you know. So 1999, small flower shop business and a small IT, floral IT business. And on the side of the flower shop came this idea of making fruit arrangements that just took off. And it's been a phenomenal 20-year journey of building stores, building a digital channel, and kind of celebrating all the good and the not so good occasions with customers in the last 20 years to build the brand that we have. And it's true a work of passion.
What was it that made it, when you say take off?
I think what has always worked for us, and I have to go back to our mission statement, and there's a great story behind it in the 20-year journey of how this mission statement has been looked at differently. People wanted to reinvent it, but this came out, I think, in December 2000. December 2000, it's winter, I'm in one of our stores, a customer walks in and says, pineapple doesn't really taste good in the month of December, and you put these daisies in, how do I know that the person who gets this arrangement is going to like what they get, and the fruit's going to taste good? And I blurbed out something like, hey, if they don't say the word wow, we love the word wow, if they don't say the word wow, I'll give you your money back. And the customer took me up on it. They said, okay, send an $85 one, but I'm going to call you. If the person doesn't, that person called me back and saying, I want to order another one. They loved it.
How do you keep the quality of everything and that last mile working?
So I'll tell you, this year, as we went through COVID, you get so passionate about perfection that you start putting policies in place of this and that. Our complaint ratio is about 50 basis points. And that is mostly related to weather. The person wasn't left the office early. We deliver a lot to schools. They left, at 3 o'clock. We couldn't get it there. The package doesn't get delivered. So a certain amount of that, half of that, is usually not even our franchisee's fault. But when we looked at it, we said, look, 99.5% of the time, we get the product there perfectly. And that came up because a lot of the companies that were shipping had a lot of issues. The packages, 30% of the packages weren't showing up. So more in a pandemic, our model that we use of having a franchisee that owns a territory and hand delivers everything, because it's such an important, we used to always say, this is such an important occasion. It's somebody's birthday, it's somebody's anniversary, somebody's sending it for sympathy. The product must get there and must get there perfectly. So if you deliver on that, that goes a long way towards that wow. And now, so if you reverse engineer something with results in mind, so if you design everything with wow in mind, you will achieve that. And a lot of times, I used to tell people that, you'd share about complaints, how many complaints you have, but how many wows do you have? How many customers are complimenting? So you should actually, everything in your organization should be about compliment. It shouldn't be about complaints. You shouldn't worry about how many people, you should worry about how many people compliment. So that's how we design it, that is, since the mission is to wow, from the person walking in the store to experiencing the product, then that love and that passion and that desire goes into every package that's leaving the van, leaving the store. And that's what helps us to achieve that. And now that has to do with training the right franchisee, the right partner, the right team members. So, and each one of those different people run it on our side, but we train well, we hire well, and then at the end of it, we hold ourselves very accountable that, you should give money back to a customer faster than you take it. You know, so if you mess up, be the first to admit, we messed up. I'm so sorry. How can we make it right? Because you messed up on occasion. And as long as you do that, things work out.
I'm taking from what you're saying, everyone's getting quality backwards. Because I remember I read these books, 1990s, Zero Defects, all these problems. You're saying, do the opposite. Reverse engineer to get a wow. Don't be looking at what are all of your defects.
Who knew there was a pandemic coming? We sat there thinking it won't affect us. I sat here. I just had come back from China, and I heard about it, and I'm like, there's no way, because we had seen these other things. And who thought that this would come and disrupt everything? There are brands that I know, small businesses, that customers took care of more than ever before and were more patient because those stores always took care of their customers. They are always focused on the customer. So I think if you're not designing it for certain results, I mean, Chick-fil-A does well because their whole training is about my pleasure. Everything is about that great experience, and it's a chicken sandwich, right? So I think with that, you know, what you design or what you plan for is what you get. So I truly believe that every one of your employees, every one of your team members, everyone should be worried about getting compliments, not avoiding complaints. So when you do that, then they're going to go get compliments. They're going to do something. My mother used to do this in our shop. She used to watch the shop for me when I was in high school. So I would go to school at 7:20, my classes started. I'd get back to the shop about 1 o'clock. She would be in the shop. She had this great little thing that as I'm helping a customer make an arrangement, she would stay in the back. She would make flower arrangements. She would always walk out with a flower, and after the customer made a purchase, she would take a flower and put an extra flower in the person's vase or in their bouquet or hand it to them. And people would just melt, and they'd be like, oh, my God, thank you. And they'd be like, no, this is for, you have a daughter? Oh, I heard you have a daughter. This is for your daughter. Oh, here's a little extra. I heard you like pink. Here's a different flower for you to try. So with that, that's the feeling the customer leaves with. So it was always to wow the customer. It was always to get a compliment. And then people would come into our shop and ask for my mother more than anyone, say, is Mrs. Fareed here? Just to find out that she's such an amazing lady that she does these little things. So and she didn't learn this from any school. It was just a simple thing of being appreciating a customer who came in and who's spending their hard-earned money at our store. You know, just to kind of give them a little, you know, just to put a smile on their face.
So you've learned a lot from your mother. I know you also learned a lot from your grandfather as well.
My grandfather was a farmer, and, you know, one of the things that I'm spending a lot of time on now is just kind of teaching some of his things. And, you know, I was mentioning to some other people that I never heard my grandfather complain when things would go bad. He was a farmer. They would lose because of some insect or because of weather. They lose everything. And he would always be thankful. He would always say, be thankful and God will give you more. And so you pick up a lot of those things. You don't apply them literally, but indirectly you apply them. You know, indirectly, you know, you focus on the important stuff.
And you even told me focusing on profit is the killer, right?
We went through it. You know, I never really knew what the word EBITDA meant until I got some really smart people that started. We used to call it simple profit, and we usually counted it later. Most small businesses don't count their profit till a month later after they've paid. They're not sophisticated enough. They usually do their own bookkeeping. So you sit at the end of the month and you're like, oh, this was a good month. You're not seeing it. Where now we can watch things minute by minute, hour by hour, and tweak. Unfortunately, some companies tweak for profit, not for customer experience. And what I realized was that the more we did that, the less EBITDA we had. Whenever we focused on the customer, we were always delighted, like, wow, that's a good month. What happened there? You know, you took care of the customers and all that flowed through. It's sort of like, you know, I always give the analogy, it's like a tip. You know, it's the most magical thing. When you go to a restaurant, people will argue. Some customers would argue with you on how much they want to pay for an arrangement or for a product. But at the end of it, when you wow them, they would give you a $5, $7 tip. And you'd be like, you spent 20 minutes with me arguing about you don't want to pay $65. You want it for $60. At the end, you gave me an extra $10. just in a tip or gave me something, it's because you wowed that customer. You weren't worried about profit or margin or any of that. So I for me that worked when I was 17, had a small business, and now we're at 600 million. It still works, and it works really well. And I think we're building the whole basis going forward on that. Worry about the top line. Worry about the customer. Worry about that experience. That whole saying that you hear, Robert, that customers remember how you make them feel. They don't remember how much they paid, but they remember how you make them feel. If you make them feel great, they remember that, and they forget how much was paid or what it was. And we get so many occasions to do that when they come in, to when we're delivering to someone they love, to maybe sharing a sample of a product or a new announcement or anything like that. We're lucky enough that we get to do that a lot with customers.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're speaking right now with Tariq Farood, and he is the founder and CEO of Edible Arrangements. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we spoke about what he learned from his grandfather, from his mom. Then we're going to hear how he started the business, and we're going to hear about how he's paying it back and involving his family in this great family business. Back in a few.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here with Tariq Fareed, and he is the CEO and founder of Edible Arrangements. And you spoke a lot about what you learned from your grandfather. And one of the things that your grandfather said was about passing along the baton. Talk about how this applies into what you have truly become, a great family business.
Indirectly, I never, until friends asked me, Robert, you know, some people asked me that, hey, your daughter is coming into the business. As soon as she graduated, she's joined the company. She's doing well in the company. How did that happen? My kids don't want to join. At that point, I sat down and kind of reflected on what was something that we did different or my grandfather. My grandfather was a farmer. We all wanted to be farmers. We wanted to be just like him. He grew tobacco. He probably didn't want us to grow tobacco, but, you know, we wanted to do that. And one thing that I realized was that, one, he never came home and shared bad days. He, you know, on those days he would be quiet, or he would say things like, well, you know, there must be some good in this. You know, we lost this crop. There must be some good in it. So one of the things that I learned and it has worked really well is we never sat at the dining room table talking about what went wrong today. We talked about what went right. What were you talking to your kids about? What did they hear every day? If they heard, you know, the van broke down, then they may not want to carry. So I think that's an important topic because generations work very hard, and sometimes the businesses die just within that generation, or they sell it instead of really, you know, taking it to the next level. I get amazing ideas from my teenagers because they know what's the trend. So they would always talk about it, and I'd ask them, oh, tell me about that. You know, how can we do that? Well, tell me about TikTok. Why? And you know, let me learn a little more. So I think with that, there's so much more to be thankful for. There's so many more good things to share than those bad experiences. So I usually tell people that if you share three bad things, and you had 100 orders and you had problem on three bad ones, make sure you share the 97 good ones. So that way, at least the next generation understands that you have a great thing going, so they want to be part of it. Because if all they hear is negativity, they're not going to want to be part of it. They appreciate everything you do, but they probably don't want to own an edible arrangements business. They'll probably want to be a doctor or a pilot or go do something else. So I think that's probably one of the most important lessons that our elders taught us at that. And I saw it in action, and where now my next generation is taking over and doing a phenomenal job, doing things that I could not do because, you know, it's a different generation with a different approach.
So, Tariq, we spoke a lot about franchises and the evolution of franchises. I am also interested in the evolution of family businesses and how that all ties together. And you're really a visionary who thinks a lot about the future, often by delivering tremendously well on the customer in the present.
I used to spend a lot of time with our franchisees 5 years in, and I would ask them a question of, where are you going? What's your plan? It was alarming to learn how many people didn't plan. Like, they didn't have a plan, where in our family, people always talked about stuff. I mean, they were farmers, so they had to kind of think a lot deeper. And my grandfather had built 1 acre at a time, so he wanted to make sure you don't sell it, you know, that always hold on to land, always take care of land. This is what fed us. So I think from that point, that next generation, I think about that a lot. I mean, buying back the company was just for that. For that next, I didn't want them to start from scratch. I wanted to continue that tradition of passing the baton to say, this is what we built it to. Now you take it to the next level, and they do. And there are so many amazing companies in the United States there that just
have gone from generation to generation and have delighted the next generation. They're much bigger in the hands of the next generation because a lot of the hard work has gotten done. So I think with that, I'm always thinking three generations, you know, to say, okay, this is one. What is the next one? And I'm lucky enough that my daughter has gotten involved and she's doing a great job. So you kind of see the next generation taking over. And then she's even thinking deeper. So with that, I think if you take care of a business, it always takes care of you in return. So, and I think that requires some long-term thinking.
So when you look at family businesses and non-family businesses, what is it about the concept of a family business that makes it so special?
I don't know what to call it. I think there is either a tradition or a value, or there is some teaching that family can continue. I've seen this where when my daughter came into the company, there are certain things that she started to do that I did not need to tell her that we do. You know, we don't, hey, we're not going to worry about, don't worry about EBITDA, worry about the customer. I want to hear the word customer more than I want to hear the word EBITDA. So, there are some values that are instilled, or take care of the customer, or, you know, this whole part, give a little more, that tradition of my mother's of actually giving everyone a little piece of flower at the end, or giving something to wow them, that I think there are things that come in the family. If you've done a good job of making sure you communicate those values and you practice those, family has 20-year, 15-year, 30-year, depending on how long it is before they join the company, it's instilled in them. Every family member who's going to come in is going to revive the brand. And that will not happen with the outsiders. I mean, outsiders will come in and maybe turn the brand around, but a family members revive the brand. They bring that essence, what made it successful in the beginning, they bring that back. And I see that in my daughter. She's bringing it back in her generation, her way, the way I did it when I did launch the brand. Because my family had businesses, they failed at many businesses, but those values always stayed. So I think that's what a family business has. As long as they focus on that, it could really be an advantage over others that may not be looking at it from that same point of view.
I could tell a very important part. You realize that you've this relationship with the franchisees, and it's like a family. If you have to have real discussions. And you want to be like your grandfather was to you, teaching them to pass the baton.
And what you're doing, Robert, right? You're kind of passing the knowledge of one, and it's all about that, right? So there's so many things I learned from what you shared, and it's all about that. Most people, you succeed by kind of sharing what you know, because one, it reminds you, and when you constantly remind yourself, you're going to practice it. And, you know, so I remember we had a huddle and I said, hey, I'm about to go on a show and I'm going to share the word wow again. I want to make sure that is front and center. And everybody's like, yeah, that's front and center. I'm like, good. You know, so I want to make sure that we are not, you know, kind of walking away from that. So that passing of the knowledge is very important. And I appreciate that all the things you do. There's wealth of knowledge. I mean, you've got a library. Somebody can just listen to that stuff, and there's so much to learn from these amazing leaders that you've brought on the show.
There you have it, Tarek. Tremendous interview. Quick question. If anyone wants to become a franchisee, and you're talking about you've created more millionaires than almost anyone else, is there a website they go to?
Ediblefranchise.com or just edible.com. And there's a franchise section on that, and happy to. I mean, I think everyone, as they look at this entrepreneurial journey, franchise models are great models to get you going, even if you're going to build, because they're going to help you with the systems. They're going to help you really focus on the business itself, then all the other minutiae that comes with it. So love to, you know, talk to people about it and share our journey or other franchise journey.
Great having you on the CEO show.
Thank you, Robert. It was great being here.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Stephanie Herzog. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm great, Robert. Thanks for having me.
And Stephanie is the CEO of Sodexo Energy North America. Talk about what that is, and I'll let you know in advance. Sodexo is one of the great companies. Years before, now you hear DEI, Sodexo was doing that. So just talk about what the organization and the organization you lead is.
Yeah, so Sodexo does facilities management services, which includes food, like your company cafeteria, as well as soft services and hard services. So janitorial, mailroom, move coordination would be soft services. Hard services would be electrical, HVAC, elevators, escalators, all the things around your facility that you don't really want to take care of, we will do for you. And in energy and resources, that means that we handle the traditional corporate office towers for our energy clients, but also chemical plants, refineries, offshore platforms, remote mining camps. So a real variance in types of facilities.
And that was really your background, was in energy, and you came into Sodexo. So what did you learn? What was it like when you came in?
Yeah, you know, I joined Sodexo 2 years ago. I've had 25 years in the energy services space. But I did not come from facilities management. And I will tell you, this business is all about people. We don't have we don't have a lot of technology or fancy equipment that we can build to our clients. It's people. And so it's really the core of our business.
Yeah, and a lot of people, 470,000 actually globally, right? So let's talk about that. It's all about people. What have you seen in terms of how the workplace has been redefined over these past couple of years?
Well, specifically with COVID, right, that has certainly turned our world upside down. I mean, our front line are just heroes. I mean, every facility, we had to completely rethink everything we do. I mean, you think about the buffet in the cafeteria is now no longer nobody wants to share utensils or come and pull food out where someone else has been. But, you know, in the early stages of COVID, where we really didn't know how it was transmitting, you know, janitorial needs went through the roof, right? We had to be super thorough and just a whole nother level of cleanliness that our clients expected and needed. And where a lot of us had the luxury of working from home, my employees didn't, and a lot of the sites that we service didn't. So chemical plants and refineries continue to be operational. Mining camps and offshore platforms continue to be operational throughout the entire pandemic. So we really just had to adjust, work with our clients, listen to what they wanted. I mean, every geography was even a little different, right, depending on what was happening with COVID in different parts of the country or different parts of the world.
So, Stephanie, as you went through that, there are probably a lot of lessons you learned from management with no more buffets, everything changing, you're focusing on janitorial. How do you manage that whole workplace, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I think communication was absolutely the most important thing. And, you know, again, remember at the beginning, just trying to make sure we could source PPE for all of our sites and the hoops that we had to go through. So, you know, we had daily 7-day-a-week calls. I had calls with my region around, you know, again, supply chain, those sorts of things that were handled regionally. And then with my teams, making sure that they felt supported, that if they had emergency needs, that we were there to help them. I mean, it really was around communication and also with our clients. So making sure that our front line was having that sort of daily communication with the clients as well, with an ever-changing landscape.
So, Stephanie, when you look at your leadership philosophy, what were the discussions and what were the influences that really shaped that leadership philosophy?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Pasadena, Texas, on the southeast side of Houston, very industrial part of town. My father was an engineer. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. She'd been a teacher before she had me and then couldn't imagine anyone else taking care of me but her. But even growing up in that very traditional family, I was encouraged from a very young age that I could do anything. And so I've never, I mean, both my mother and father, you know, encouraged me to pursue engineering. They saw I liked math and science. They said, you can do anything you want. You can do anything you put your mind to. So some of the things I think that girls traditionally hear at a young age, I just didn't hear in my house. It was very much, you can do any of it. And I think that has stuck with me through growing as a leader. I try very hard to be a very empathetic leader. But I've also reflected on the bosses that I've had through my career and tried to emulate those. I've had some really wonderful, by the way, I've never had a female supervisor, so I've only had male role models to look to. But I have had some great male empathetic leaders in my life, and I have had some that were not so much. And so taking learnings from each of those stages in life and trying to emulate that.
It's really become, in today's world, a war for talent. You are known, since you are, you're saying, people-oriented. What do you do to get the best talent? Are there any lessons that CEOs could learn?
Well, look, I don't think anybody feels like an expert in the war for talent right now. It's really challenging just trying to recruit talent. I think the other lens, so there's a Sodexo lens, but there's also an energy lens. And with the energy transition upon us, more than ever, we need the best and brightest people coming to our industry. And yet, you know, I had a young engineer ask me the other day, is energy the new tobacco industry? Like, should I really be considering going into that space at all? And so I think it is a real challenge for our industry. You mentioned Sodexo's focus on DEI. I do believe that in energy, we have historically not been very good at DEI. And so I think there is a lot of untapped talent for us out there that can help with that scenario. But in order to attract and retain that talent, we've got to create much more inclusive environments for people to come to work.
And when you talk about an inclusive environment, let's take two different elements there. Number one is we now have a five-generation workforce. So how do you deal with multi-generational? And the second part is generalist and specialist, because you've been in a business where it was strictly really specialist. Has that changed at all?
The millennials and the Gen Z that are coming up, I mean, look, when I graduated from college, I tell everybody, I took the best job. The best job was defined as the one that paid the most. When I talk to kids coming out of college today, pay's on their list. You've got to pay fairly, but they're much more concerned about, do we have a purpose as a company? How will it be to work at this company? What will my work environment be like? And so I think as an industry, we've got to start preaching the message around our purpose. And get away from, you know, oil and gas is dirty and bad to, look, we need a lot of forms of energy to have affordable, accessible energy for the world. And we play a vital role in that transition and doing that responsibly. And so, you know, I try to encourage young people today, look, being inside, you'll be able to make more change than sitting outside. And so come join us and help with that. And so, like, I think with the younger generation coming up, they just view their work differently. And then the second part of your question, remind me again, that was, generalists and specialists. I think with our clients, we tend to have multiple product lines. So we'll tend to do, for example, soft services and hard services. And while you're not going to take your HVAC repair guy and send him out to mop the floor, we do get some synergies around our management staff. And so you do need to have management teams that understand both businesses and can efficiently run both businesses. Food is a different element, right? And that's it's more of an artsy offering. And so it has a different criteria to it, but continuing to train our employee base where they can speak to all of those and manage all of them effectively helps us be more efficient.
And now probably the question most important, nearest and dearest to my heart, is being a woman and advice, because there are way too few women CEOs. What have you learned in becoming a woman CEO, especially in an industry, you know, like energy that has been completely male dominated?
Yeah. You know, Robert, I like I said, I've been in energy services my entire career. Before coming to Sodexo, I was very used to being the only woman in the room, particularly when it came to operations. And so I kind of got used to it. It's been very refreshing to be at Sodexo, and I'm now rarely the only woman in the room. And it's not just gender diversity, but we have racial diversity. We have. I mean, if you look at the picture of our regional leadership committee, I laugh. It looks like a Benetton ad, if any of you are old enough to remember the Benetton ads. But, it's a beautiful picture, and it does create a much more inclusive place to work. My advice for women coming into the industry, there's usually a few pieces of advice that I give. One is raise your hand, make sure people know that you want to be promoted, that you can take on responsibility, more responsibility, put your name in the hat. So, I'll tell you a story. I graduated from Harvard Business School. I was on the alumni board there.
We're about to take a commercial break, and when we come back, you're going to tell that story. And more so, we're going to hear Stephanie did something that no other CEO out of 1,000 I've interviewed has ever experienced. You'll find that out back in a few.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Stephanie Herzog, who is the CEO of Sodexo Energy North America. So you were going to tell a story about when you graduated.
Yeah, it was actually after I graduated. I was on the alumni board at Harvard Business School, and we were looking at the admittance data. And they showed us the percentage of male and female applicants that had been admitted to the school, and we accepted a higher percentage of the female applicants. And so one of the male board members raised his hand and said, are we lowering the bar so we can get more women in the class? And the admissions director, who is fantastic, responded without missing a beat, no, our average female applicant is more qualified than our average male applicant. And so, you know, what I see is that, and this is broad generalizations, but women, we tend to look at the list of requirements for a job or to get into business school, and if we don't meet every box, we don't put our name in the hat. And the, many of the men that, again, gross generalizations, but many of the men that have worked for me, you know, they meet two of the 10 boxes and they put their name in the hat. And so I think as women, we've got to be a bit more bold and put ourselves out there and make sure people know that we want that promotion. And so that kind of raise your hand, make yourself known is the first piece of advice that I give women. The second piece is really for anybody, but if you want to be, but I think women have a harder time sometimes getting that CEO spot. You really have to get P&L responsibility. You've got to have had profit and loss responsibility at some point in your career. And women often get pushed into support roles, and we perform, and so we move pretty high up in the company in strategy or sales or marketing or some of the other functions. But if you haven't gotten that P&L responsibility, it's really hard to get into the C-suite. And the longer you wait to do that, the harder it is to make that transition over, because people don't want to, they don't want to take the chance to give you that big of a P&L, for example. So, you know, I have a vice president that has wants to move into operations, but to give her a VP of operations role without having had some experience at the district manager role or the, even the general manager role is quite a step change. And so I encourage women to try to get that experience, and or if you get pushed into a support function, that could be a great developmental opportunity for you. Make sure you're having a conversation of how you make your way back. How you make your way back into the operational roles.
It's great advice. And that's what I've heard from the top CEOs is you have to have the P&L and you have to raise your hand, because if you don't, women will wait until they have 90%. And once they have 90%, it's almost like when they get the job, they're overqualified and they seem unmotivated. So they don't get the job. It's a double-edged sword. Everyone listening in, that's what you have to do. Raise your hand and also get P&L experience. Now I want to shift over to the personal side. And I mentioned that you've gone through a challenge that no CEO out of 1,000 I've interviewed has ever gone through. It was, the date was December 10th, 2017. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I suffered sudden cardiac death which means that my heart got in an unusual rhythm, which caused me to collapse. So I technically died. Fortunately, my husband was home. He was in the next room, and he heard me go down. He didn't know what had happened, so he hollered out. When I didn't respond, he came in there and found me, and so immediately started CPR. I have two children. At the time, they were 11 and 6, and so the 11-year-old called 911. I went under CPR for somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes. I got the paddles multiple times. Nobody really can say how many. Was ambulatory transported to the hospital, spent several days unconscious, and they were dark days for my family and my friends. They really didn't think I was going to make it. And if I did pull through, they were pretty certain that there would be some brain damage or, you know, who knows. But miracle of miracles, I came out of that. I spent a couple of weeks in the hospital and then some time recovering after I got home. When I first got home from the hospital, because I'd laid in bed for 2 weeks, I couldn't go from lying down to sitting up without help and assistance. So, yeah, it took a little time to recover from that, but definitely having a near-death experience changes your perspective on life.
So this is the first time I've ever asked this question. To any CEO, having died already and come back to life, what has that taught you specifically in your approach towards being a CEO?
Yeah, look, I think when you've had an experience like that, first of all, you just take life with a different outlook, as the easiest way to say it. You know, it takes a lot to stress me out. And that's generally been my nature most of my life. Things happen, I take them, I stay calm, we work through it. But when you have something like that happen, it kind of puts everything in perspective. Like, well, it could be worse. I could be dead. So, you know, I think I have a pretty even keel with my team. We have challenges. We face them. I don't get super upset about them. I don't yell at people unless things get really bad. But have a more even keel style. And just putting everything in perspective. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, thought I wouldn't go back to work. I think they thought you'd have this near-death experience and say, oh, I'm just going to stay home with my children and I'm going to, you know. But that actually didn't really ever cross my mind. I love to work. It's a huge part of who I am is my professional life. I love my kids, too, and I adore them. And I just try to spend as much time doing all the things I love. But it never really occurred to me to take that step back. It was more like I have the opportunity to continue to be here and contribute. And I will say that maybe, you know, it's hard to disseminate. That happened in 17. I joined Sodexo in 19. Over the last sort of 3 years, I've become much more vocal about women and energy and promoting that cause. And so maybe that's my way of feeling like I'm giving back is continuing to promote that cause and to be out there.
And on that note, Stephanie, I'd like to say thank you. What a pleasure it is having you as a guest on the CEO show.
It was great to be here, Robert. Thanks so much for having me.
And women, remember this. Number one, throw your hat in the ring. And number two, get P&L responsibilities. Once we do that, we are going to have more women CEOs, and this is not just a social issue, this is an economic issue because we need the best talent at the top. Great having you on the CEO show, Steph.
Network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.